515 on your going home program, and the baseball season is just around the corner, and somebody who's seen a game or two is Mike Lurie. He's an award-winning journalist with 25 years under his belt in TV and radio. He's currently a political and investigative reporter for CBS 13 in Sacramento, where his On the Money reports, in-depth look at the connection between money and politics. I bet you there is a connection there. And he has also written Baseball Between Us. It's his first book, and he chronicles the experience of seeing every game in every stadium with a teenager. And, boy, that ought to be a survival story there. Mike, are you with us?
I am. Thank you so much for having me on board.
All right. Well, baseball season is just about to kick off. Now, the 32 ballparks, every ballpark that you went to, are we also talking about in Canada, too?
Yeah, absolutely. We went to Toronto to see the Blue Jays play, which was a lot of fun, and had a chance to visit every team and every ballpark, 32 altogether, although there's actually only 30 teams, but we had to go twice to Minnesota and New York because of new ballparks.
Uh-huh. And now, it took you 43,000 miles in about 16 years to get this task completed?
That's right. It started when my son, Matt, was just 5 years old. We went to our first game, actually, in St. Louis to see the Cardinals play. Took his older sister, Sarah, who was 8 at the time. The kids didn't really enjoy the baseball so much, but they loved the fireworks the game, and that was fun. But as Matt got older, he really kind of got into baseball with Little League and everything. And by the time he was 16, I said, hey, let's do a road trip and experience the country and do a little bonding together as father and son.
Did people question your sanity going on the road with a 16-year-old boy?
Absolutely.
Did you have any after it was over with?
Right. Well, you know, we had a lot of fun. We got to meet a lot of Major League players, including Maury Wills from the Dodgers and Bernie Williams from the Yankees and Dave Stewart from the Oakland A's and Boog Powell in Baltimore, who played for the Orioles. He's got a barbecue pit there now. And so we had lots of fun, but we also had lots of fights. Especially over wake-up time, bedtime, and music on the radio. We had wars music wars, because he was very heavily into rap, and I'm very much into rock, and never the twain shall meet. So he didn't appreciate my music, and I definitely didn't appreciate his.
there can be certainly just normal everyday tug of wars with a teenager as far as that goes, but I guess you both did survive it, right?
We survived, but I'll tell you about a funny story that happened over that. It was in Milwaukee. We were there to see the Brewers play, and in the hotel lobby there was a plaque that said, on this very site something very historic happened. Teddy Roosevelt, when he was running for re-election in 1912 for president, was nearly assassinated by a guy who came out of the crowd and shot him. Well, it turns out that Teddy Roosevelt had a 50-page speech in his pocket, and it actually saved his life. It deflected the bullet and stopped just before it did any major damage, and that's where he said his famous phrase about, it takes more than that to kill a bull moose. And so I said to Matt, well, isn't this historic, and isn't this terrific that, you know, we have a chance to see something where American history happened? He said, Dad, what's the big deal? Teddy Roosevelt was shot one time. 50 Cent was shot 9 times.
No.
He thought that was way cooler.
Oh, well, gee, not appreciating the history a little bit there, huh?
No, not so much. We also had, fights, as I mentioned, about waking up, because teenagers don't like to get up in the morning, as you know, and when you have to get up at 6 a.m. to catch a plane, to catch a train, to catch a rental car, and, you know, make a ball game halfway around the country, that took a lot of challenges. So he decided he was going to test the rules, test the limits. And so in Cleveland, we were there to watch the Indians play, and he decided that he was going to start calling me by my first name. So instead of, you know, hi, Dad, it all of a sudden became, hi, Mike, suddenly became his favorite phrase, which he used frequently just to bug me. And I said, Matt, you know, I hate it when you call me that. Well, why, he said, Mike's your name. And I said, yeah, but I'm your dad. I'm not your buddy. And, you know, we're not equals. I'm the dad, and you're my son, whatever happened to respecting your elders. He said, it's an old-fashioned concept, Mike. Better get used to it.
No.
You did bring him home, didn't you?
We did. And over time, he matured a little bit. And I'm happy to report that by the end of the trip, he finally agreed that Jimi Hendrix is, in fact, the greatest guitarist who ever lived.
There you go.
Success. Good.
Now, was he in on the planning stages and all of this with you whenever y'all would plan your trips?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We would sit down every spring and look at a road atlas of the United States along with a calendar for the baseball teams and try to figure out and map it out, how many games can we see in a week, in between either spring break or over the summer break. So we'd go from, for example, Kansas City and fly there and then drive to St. Louis and then on to Cincinnati to see the Reds and then up to Cleveland to see the Indians and then on to Pittsburgh to see the Pirates. So we mapped it out. So I, tried to get him incorporated into the trip as much as possible. And he did participate. And actually, he wrote the epilogue for the book. So he did get the final word and admitted that in the end, it was a pretty darn good trip. And I will also say that by the end of the trip, we were actually able to share a beer together at the ballpark.
There you go. Now, did y'all have favorite teams, and were your favorite teams the same as his? Or?
Well, we have different teams. See, I grew up on the East Coast in Connecticut, just an hour from Yankee Stadium, so I'm a big Yankee fan, and Matt grew up here in California, so he's an Oakland A's fan. But we came to appreciate baseball as just a fun place where you can go, and the nice thing about it, the thing that I think is the father-son dynamic, is the fact that the pace of the game is much slower than, basketball or football. But we actually came to like that because you can talk strategy. Hey, do you think they're going to hit and run here? Is he going to throw a slider, maybe a curve? Are they going to steal? Do you think the bunt is coming? And in between all that strategy stuff, you can kind of sneak in a question like, and oh, by the way, who are you taking to the junior prom? And by that time, his defenses are so much lowered that you actually, can sometimes get an answer that you otherwise normally wouldn't get.
Get him to admit to just about anything you want him to.
Absolutely.
Huh?
And we found that baseball was sort of the fabric that allowed us to do that. You talk between innings, between pitches, and then you sort of lower your guard a little bit as a teenager. And he opened up, and we talked about things that, all parents want to talk to about, who are your friends and what are they doing and what are they into and what are the pressures going on in high school and, all of those things that parents want to know about. But if you have baseball as sort of the filter to get you there, it's a lot less threatening for a kid, and you can actually have really good dialogues and conversations.
That was a great bonding experience for you, but it does certainly sound like it had its trials and tribulations during the course of completing this. Was there a time that either one of you thought, we're not going to finish this little thing here?
Almost every trip I kind of worried about that, but we were just really lucky and blessed. First of all, the weather was amazing. In the entire 16 years that we did this in 32 ballparks, we did not have one rain out.
Wow.
So that was pretty lucky to have that. And we got to see some historic moments. We got to see Barry Bonds hit his 715th home run in San Francisco.
Cool.
To beat Babe Ruth on the number two on the all-time list. We went to Fenway Park in Boston, which is now celebrating 100 years. And my son was constantly reminding me, Dad, it must be really great to go to a ballpark that's actually older than you are.
Certainly sounds like an opportunity for some ribbing there. Now, as I'd mentioned, with it being a bonding experience, can you say that probably he was as thrilled about sharing this with you as you were with him? Or do you feel like you both needed a medal of courage after it was over with?
Well, I think not so much in the beginning. In the beginning, I sort of had to drag him to these places, especially to get out of bed. And, he'd put on his iPod and his headphones. And, we wouldn't talk to each other on the plane. One time we flew from Sacramento to Dallas to see a Rangers game. And he didn't talk to me the entire time because it was too early in the morning and he just didn't want to deal with it. So I just sort of learned to sort of go with the flow, and I had to figure out something that would work. So he, knowing that he wanted to sleep in, I would go get up early and then go run down to the, usually get a complimentary breakfast or something in the hotel, pack up some Cheerios or bananas or, fruits, and bring it up to the room. So just about the time it was ready for checkout, he had his food right there. We could, eat and run in the car, and away we would go. And I think he appreciated that I was sort of looking out for him without having to say so much. And we developed a bond. We also had a big fight one time over a cell phone. It was in Toronto. We flew to see the Blue Jays play. We took a cab to the ballpark and the hotel. And I talked up the cabbie on the way, who happened to be studying for law school at night. And that would come in handy because Matt, as it turned out, lost his cell phone in the car. Didn't realize it until we got to the hotel room. He said, it's lost. I said, we got to find it. It's got all your friends and family, and someone's going to use the phone. So I called up the cab company and said, find me the cabbie that is studying law at night. They said, we know exactly who that is. And so I called him, and he goes, "Yep, I've got the phone right here. It slipped out of his pocket in the back seat of the car, and I'll return it to you." And I said, "Oh, that's so nice of you for being, you know, a good Samaritan." He goes, "Good Samaritan? Are you kidding? I'm going to charge you $35 cold, hard Canadian cash." Well, guess who paid the bill on that one?
Sure, yeah.
That was a lesson learned. And then finally I said, "Well, Matt, now that you've paid for that, I hope you'll realize that maybe you'll get a holster for your cell phone like I do." He goes, "Dad, oh, no, that's for old men. I like to have my phones wild and free." And I said, "Well, it was wild, but it certainly wasn't free.
Exactly.
So he tried to break the ice on that afterwards and said, "Well, Dad, how about if I take you upstairs and we'll go get a beer?" And I said, "Matt, what are you talking about? You're 19. You know, the drinking age in America is 21. We can't do that." He goes, "Dad, this is Canada. The drinking age here is 19. Well, sure enough, it is, and we went up to the top of the bar, and he ordered two Molsons like he knew what he was doing.
Uh-oh.
And we had our first beer that way, which is great. And he even said, "Dad, you know, this is great. I don't even have to use my fake ID." It's kind of like, you know what? TMI, too much information. I don't think you want to go there.
It was a learning experience, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
Now, if you could do it all over again, would you?
Absolutely. It was the trip of a lifetime. I feel really blessed, you know, to have had the chance to go on the road. We have, you know, a shared experience that we'll remember forever. It actually started with my dad. He took me to my very first World Series game when I was, I think, about 8 years old. It was the 1963 World Series, and the Yankees were playing the Dodgers at Yankee Stadium. And that was back when they played the World Series in the daytime, so I got to skip school for the day. So that was very cool. And we went to the game, and being a huge Yankees fan, I rooted for them. And that was the game that Sandy Koufax was on the mound for the Dodgers and struck out 15 Yankees, including my hero, Mickey Mantle, twice.
Wow.
And the Dodgers won that game 5-2, went on to sweep the series 4-0, and I cried all the way home. But I developed a lifelong love for baseball and bonding with my dad, and we talked about sports and read the box scores every day. And I thought, you know, right then and there, sort of the light went on, and I knew I loved baseball and wanted to maybe share it with my kids one day. And I hope that he'll do the same.
Now, with his team being the Oakland A's, they open up with Seattle in Japan
this
week.
Yeah, coming up on Wednesday, they're going to play in the Tokyo Dome, which will be very exciting. And the good news is that both teams are in first place.
Yeah.
Because by Wednesday, you know, they'll be out of the pennant race.
Now, are you going to the game?
I wish I could. No, it's a little far away, but I definitely intend to go to a lot of games this year. You know, you've got some great parks in Texas. The Rangers play in a terrific park, AmeriQuest, which is a lot of fun. And Houston, of course, has Minute Maid Park. One of the things I've done in the book is rank the ballparks. Just by, you know, what it's like for a sports fan to go there and experience it. Looking at, you know, the fan experience, the food, how easy it is to get to the park, the neighborhoods, and all of that kind of stuff. And both Texas parks rank pretty high. So I think that's going to be a fun thing. Also, I've got a section called Baseball Bullets, which is fun, family-friendly things to do in every Major League Baseball city. So even if somebody in the family is not a big baseball fan, like, say, my wife, keeps telling me that baseball is like watching paint dry. So, you know, she ribs me all the time about that, but I knew I had to do something for the moms or, you know, the one part of the family who's not into baseball. So if you go to, you know, see the Texas Rangers play, for example, you know, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you're going to want to see the Fort Worth Stockyards and Cowboys Stadium and Six Flags over Texas. And, you know, there's a lot of fun things for the whole family to do. Similarly, in Houston, if you go to see the Astros play, you know, you're going to want to go to the Johnson Space Center and the San Jacinto Monument and the USS Texas and the Houston Museum of Natural Science. There's, you know, just a lot of fun things to do in the area. So at least there's something hopefully for everybody in the book.
Where does Fenway Park rank on your list?
Fenway is number three. I ranked it third because of the Green Monster, the history, the tradition. My top park, my number one park, is San Francisco, AT&T, because of the view of the bay is terrific. The Knothole Gang is a place in right field where it's the only park in America where you can actually see a game for free. And in the right field stands, you can stand and watch the right fielder through a fence. And every three innings, they rotate. They switch players or switch locations. But you can actually watch a game for free, which is fun. Pittsburgh is number two. We took a water taxi to the game to PNC Park. That was great. So, you know, every park has something appealing.
Now, what was maybe one of the most unusual sights that you saw while you were doing this?
Well, you know, every stadium has a little bit of a tradition or something that's unique. For example, at Yankee Stadium, they have a tradition where at the start of the game, just before the game is to begin, they introduce, before they even introduce the players, the right field stands will start yelling all the players' names. And so they'll start with, like, say, the shortstop, Derek Jeter, and say, Derek Jeter, and then, you know, with the clapping. Mm-hmm. And they keep doing it over and over until he turns around, tips his cap, and acknowledges the fans. And then they go on to the next player until they've done the entire infield and the outfield and named every player as sort of an acknowledgement that the fan base is there supporting them. That's unique to Yankee Stadium. In Boston, they have a tradition where in the eighth inning they sing Sweet Caroline, you know, the famous song.
Neil Diamond.
Thank you. Neil Diamond. And so that's kind of a fun thing to do. So, and in Chicago, at the Cubs games, you know, they get very drunk in the outfield and yell at each other and scream obscenities from the left field stands to the right field stands. So every park has its tradition, you know.
Yeah, yes, they do.
In Baltimore, they do kind of a fun thing where they say they sing the Star Spangled Banner, you know, oh, say, can you see? But in Baltimore, they really prolong the O. It's like, oh, for about 10 seconds, and then they finish it because O stands for Oriole.
It is funny, the different traditions and things that develop through fans and teams and things like that. And it's really neat to be able to hear about it. It's even neater to see it in person like you did.
It was a joy and a blessing to be able to do it. And I realized that not everybody's going to have the means or the opportunity to go on the road and do that. And I think that's not really the point. The point is spending time together with your kid is really what counts, especially these days where there's so many distractions and kids are into, you know, their cell phones and electronic devices and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. But you can have just as great of experience by going in the backyard and having a catch. And if you can do that, you know, every day or, you know, every couple of days with your kid, and that is a great way to launch and initiate a conversation. The point is that you're working together and you're talking together. You've got something in common. You're bonding. And it doesn't matter whether you're on the road or in your backyard or your neighborhood park. The point is to spend time together, and that's what's really going to build a rapport and a relationship between father and son.
Absolutely. And even though there might have been some tense moments, probably when he looks back at it and admits it, that even during those agitated times, it was quality time that's spent with dad and son.
Absolutely. And, you know, he knew he got my number a couple of times. And, you know, all I can say is, well, what goes around comes around. Wait till you have a kid one day, and you'll probably get the same kind of treatment. But, you know, it's been fun. And like I say, I feel very, very blessed to have had this experience. And we had so much fun meeting the players and just writing about the fun anecdotes and the interesting things that happened on the road. I thought it was something that hopefully all parents can relate to. And there's, you know, a couple of chuckles, a couple of good stories, and a roadmap, sort of a blueprint that other parents can use if they wanted to take even just a regional trip to visit a couple, three, four parks in your area where you can do sort of the same thing and just have fun.
Well, of course, all the stories and your experiences are in the book Baseball Between Us. Now, how can people find your book?
It's easy to do that right on the website, baseballbetweenus.com. They can order directly through there. And I'm also blogging about baseball all summer long. I would love to hear from your listeners if they have ideas about the Rangers or the Astros or anything in particular that baseball-related. I'm happy to answer them and talk baseball anytime.
Well, I'm going to ask you one right now. Now, the Rangers, we don't want them to be the Buffalo Bills of the baseball league. Two down in the World Series. What do you think their chances this year are?
You know, it was fascinating watching the World Series. They were one strike away from winning it all.
Yep.
Not one,
twice.
But twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was rooting for them because I'm an American League fan. I really, really wanted them to win that game, and they came, oh, darn, just so close twice. And I think they've got the fire, and they've got the team. They're really, really going to be great this year. This new pitcher, Yu Darvish from the Japanese League, is supposed to be the real deal. And if he pitches like promised, and they have some, you know, great bats with Josh Hamilton, of course, and others, I think they can still be a great team. Although you got to admit, the team to beat on paper this year, of course, is the Angels. now that they have Albert Pujols and C.J. Wilson, who came over from the Rangers, pitching for them. They're going to be very, very tough to beat. But, hey, anything can happen. That's why they play the game, and I wish the Rangers the best of luck.
Well, we appreciate that as well, and, yeah, that's why they play the game. Now, Mike, as I'd mentioned, that you're with On the Money out there in Sacramento, and as far as your work and anything else that you're involved in as well, do you have a website yourself?
No, just the baseball site is because what I do is, you know, I have fun at work and do that, but then I get to come home at night and write about baseball, which is my passion.
All right. Well, it sounds like a fascinating read. Certainly an exciting experience for you and Matt to have experienced together, and people check out Baseball Between Us. Mike, we certainly appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being on your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.